We're going to finish out the third chapter of James as we continue our series in James. And if you've read ahead or if you've looked at what we're going to be talking about today, it might look familiar and you might be going, wait a second, didn't we do this already? And if that's what you're saying, then I commend you for paying attention and for knowing what's going on, because this is the passage that we are going to look at this morning is a little bit of a recap of something that we've looked at before. Because in James chapter 2, we spent a lot of time talking about the wisdom of God. And so in chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, we're going to see James kind of bring us back to remind us about this, the whole idea of the wisdom of God. Because I don't know about you, but at least for me, it's something that I need to be reminded of often. Especially after dealing with and talking with something like we did last week, as difficult as taming the tongue, maybe right after that, the idea of relying on the wisdom of God for that isn't such a bad idea. And so James is going to remind us of this, but it is something that we've looked at before, but a good reminder that I think we need. And as we look at this idea of wisdom, wisdom is something that everybody seeks in life. Would you agree with that? Wisdom is something that people always look for. Now, they don't always look for it in the right places, right? Neither do we sometimes, but it is something that everybody seems to seek. And maybe you can even think of instances in your life where somebody has imparted some wisdom upon you. Hopefully it was good wisdom, but sometimes people can impart some wisdom upon us that maybe not be the best. But hopefully as you think about this idea of wisdom and godly wisdom, you can think of some people that have shared some wisdom with you along the way that you have taken with you, whether it be in your walk with Jesus or in life in general. And maybe it's stuck with you through the years. Let me share with you a few of mine that have stuck with me over the years that I've heard from some professors, some pastor friends, and different things like that. This first one from a mentor of mine told me often, I'm not sure what I did to deserve it, but we'll see. He often said, you know what, Jordan? You are a nut. But thankfully, you're screwed to the right bolt, so you've got something going for you. So again, not quite sure what I did at that present time to deserve that, but maybe so. But it always stuck with me. I may be a nut, but with the foundation being in the right place, maybe, just maybe, I'm onto something. There was another pastor friend of mine who served as a mentor at one time, and I was venting to him about the frustrations of college and working and serving in ministry and all of that, and he simply just looked at me and said, you know, Jordan, you can sleep when you're dead. Just keep, you know, pull up your bootstraps, put it together. You got to do what you got to do. You can sleep when you're dead. You'll be fine. It's not that big of a deal. And that one's always stuck with me. And then another one of the most profound things I've heard in some of the classes I've been in was a professor of mine said to the entire class, he said, sometimes the most spiritual thing that you can do is to simply give it to God and just take a nap. And as a college student, that resonated with me quite a bit. I don't know why some of these have dealt with sleeping. That seems to be a theme in the wisdom that's been imparted to my life, but that is just some things that have stuck out to me. So again, we all seek wisdom. Maybe you have some things like that that people have shared with you over the years that have stuck with you. And so we're going to look at this idea once again of wisdom and the difference between the wisdom of God, the wisdom that we should be chasing, that we should be seeking, versus the wisdom that unfortunately we often fall into. And so if you'll read along with me, James chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 13 and read through verse 18. I'm reading from the ESV, so if it looks a little different from what you have, that is why. James chapter 3, verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and even demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So we see here, just in this small passage, this idea of the wisdom that we should be seeking versus, unfortunately, the wisdom that we often seek. Because even in culture and society today, culture will tell you it's important to seek wisdom. It's important to learn. It's important to be knowledgeable. But it's the foundation where that wisdom is found that is the differentiator between the two. And in verse 13, right out of the gate, and what we look at, we see, and we've talked about it a little bit before, that wisdom, true wisdom, as it should be expressed, is shown in our lives by the good things that we do. If you know somebody in life that has true godly wisdom, you will know that that exists in their life by the way that they carry themselves, by the way that they act, by the way that they treat other people, as we've talked about before. And it's not the good works that earn them favor with God. They're not doing the good works to prove to God that they are full of wisdom. The good works and the good things that they do are an overflow of the wisdom that they have of God. And it is an overflow of the love and the obedience and the reverence that they have for them. See, wisdom is not simply just head knowledge, right? A lot of people think if you want to chase wisdom, just go get another degree, go spend some time in class, learn another trade, whatever that may be. And that is true to a point, but real wisdom and understanding will be shown in our lives and in our good conduct. Real wisdom, godly wisdom, will be shown by how we love and how we treat other people. True wisdom of God is why a life that honors Him should be shown by our actions. Again, in chapter 2, we talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago, that it's not to prove to God how good we are. It is to out of the love and the example that God has given us. We're not doing it to show God that we're good enough, because if that's the case, we'd be working our entire lives and then some to get that point across. But the good things that we do are because we know who God is, we know what He's capable of, and what He has done for us. And that is the true wisdom in life. I want you to think of that person in your life that you would consider the wisest person you know. Maybe it's a parent or a grandparent. Maybe it's somebody, a pastor of some time that has come into your life. I want you to think about who that is, and it'll be different for every person in here, but when we hear someone who is wise, someone who shows wisdom, there's usually at least somebody that comes to mind. And more often than not, that person's demeanor and how they treat people matches kind of the energy of their wisdom. If they are full of wisdom, as you know them to be, then more often than not, their actions and their words are going to show that. They're wise, and you know that they're wise because of the wise words that they have shared with you. You know that they're wise because how they love and treat people around them. You know they're wise because no matter what life throws at them, they're pointing people to something far better than themselves, that being Jesus. We know that they are wise because of what they do. And the reason that they're doing so is not to bring any sort of honor and glory to themselves, but to point to somebody far better, and that far better person being Jesus. That is the true wisdom. There's a lot of people in life that will do good things and will say the right things, but the reason that they do that is to bring all attention and honor and glory to ourselves. And when we do that, that is actually showing the lack of true wisdom in their lives. Because if we were following wisdom, wouldn't we want to point people to somebody who can actually solve their problems, to somebody who can actually love them and comfort them unconditionally in the way that you and I never could? That is wisdom. That is what it should be. The difference between the two ideas of wisdom that we're going to look at this morning in our passage is that they originate from very different sources. James distinguishes between two very different types of wisdom. One originates from a pure and perfect God, and the other originates from selfish, sinful people like you and I. Why would we consider it wise to draw attention to ourselves? Why would we consider it wise to have people see and look at us, sinful, messed up, and broken people that get it wrong over and over? Maybe that's just me. but maybe you can identify with that. When we do that, when we do things and we say things and we portray things so that people will see how good that we are, we're bringing all honor and glory and attention to ourselves. It only actually makes sense to praise the holy and just God that is actually worthy of the praise, because I hate to break it to you, but there is not a lot of praise that you and I are worthy of, because we keep messing it up. We keep getting it wrong. We keep turning our backs on God. And so why wouldn't we, in this idea of wisdom, point to who is worthy of the praise and the honor and the glory? Society today will tell you that that's yourself. And society today is really keen on letting you know that you should be the God of your own life. But that's not what the scripture teaches. That's not what Jesus teaches. And that's not what James is trying to get us to understand here. So he talks about this idea of wisdom and how understanding good and godly wisdom can be seen in someone's life and in someone's actions. But there is a different kind of wisdom. And in verses 14 through 16, we see this idea of this earthly wisdom. In verse 13, James talks about the gentleness and meekness that's associated with wisdom. But when we look in verses 14 through 16, the wisdom that he describes here is totally opposite of that wisdom that he tells us that we need to have. And we see an example in the scripture as well of how this cannot be. In verse 14, he says, "If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, you cannot boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic." Maybe you remember last week when we talked about the idea of taming the tongue, there was an example used about how fresh and salt water cannot exist at the same time together, that one will eventually overtake the other. And James is drawing back to those examples about that and the fig tree and the grapevine that we talked about just last week, that those two things cannot mesh and go together. And we see here, as we talk about this idea of wisdom, there is gentleness and meekness in the wisdom that we should be striving for. But if our wisdom and the way that we carry ourselves in life is filled with bitterness and jealousy, those cannot coexist with gentleness and meekness. Just as there can't be salt and fresh water from the same water source, there is only one type of wisdom that we can carry with us. And again, it's about the source of that wisdom. Is that wisdom filled with gentleness and meekness and pointing towards God? I hope so, and it should be. But so often, that wisdom, the way that we carry ourselves, is filled with envy, is filled with strife, is filled with bitterness. And that cannot be. We can only be living under the wisdom of one of these. Just as you can only go and get fresh water or salt water from one of those sources, you can only have one of these kinds of wisdom. And so the question we really need to ask ourselves this morning is, what wisdom are we seeking in our life? What wisdom is our life defined by? Are we defined by the wisdom of God that's filled with gentleness and the things that we'll talk about later on? Or is it unfortunately characterized by envy and strife and bitterness? It can only be one or the other. It can't be a little bit of both. And the idea in these verses here is that anybody that shows bitterness and envy and self-seeking in their lives shouldn't be deceived and consider themselves wise. Because, again, the actions and the portrayal of what's going on in our lives are a very clear indicator of where our heart is. And so if somebody claims to be following God and using his wisdom, but their hearts and their lives and their actions are full of bitterness and envy and self-centeredness, then those two don't match up. It can only be one or the other. And James cautions here that if that's the case, and if this is where you find yourself in life, don't be deceived and don't go sharing with others that you are full of the wisdom of God, when in reality you're full of the bitterness and the envy and the self-seeking that is characterized here. Because when we look at those and we line it up to what it's supposed to look like, those characteristics are more in line with what the world would say, the flesh and the desires of the world than of God. See, when we pretend to be wise, when we pretend to have it all together, it actually shows how foolish we really are. How often in life, and in church especially, do we pretend that we have this wisdom of God and what we show other people because we pretend like we've got it all together and that things are going great and that our quiet time is good, our time with the Lord is good, things are great at home. We portray that to other people, yet on the inside it feels like things are falling apart. Maybe you've been there before. Maybe you're there this morning. Maybe it's something that you have been dealing with. Because all of us have those feelings of bitterness and envy and self-centeredness because of our sinful nature. Because we're sinful, messed up, and broken, unfortunately, that's naturally what we are going to go to. We have feelings of bitterness against those who have wronged us, about people that have hurt us. We feel a certain type of way towards them. When there's other people in life that we see their life and we see, wow, things are actually going really great for them, that must be nice because I've got this going on back at home and I can't afford this and this medical thing just popped up. And all of a sudden, without even really meaning to, jealousy has creeped in and has entered. And we do that over and over. We harbor those feelings of bitterness and resentment. We feel that jealousy. Everything that we do is about how we can make our lives better. But praise the Lord that the God that we serve doesn't operate that way. Because if he did, it would be very unfortunate for people like you and for me. Because in our brokenness and in our sinfulness, there's not a whole lot that we can offer God in terms of value. And that's the whole point of this wisdom, and I'll put air quotes on wisdom here. The fruit of this wisdom, this earthly wisdom that James is describing, is confusion and is evil. The wisdom of the world, the flesh of the devil, it can accomplish things. There are things that can be done through knowledge and the pursuit of that wisdom. It wouldn't be enticing if that wasn't the case. There are plenty of people in life who are very knowledgeable and are very wise in the ways of the world, that are very smart people, but miss out on the good news and the hope found in Jesus. And that's, they've got the wisdom of this world, right? They're smart, they've got the knowledge, but they're missing the wisdom of God. They're missing their need for a Savior. They're missing the fact that we're sinful, messed up, and broken. It wouldn't be enticing if this wasn't the case, but the ultimate fulfillment of this kind of wisdom is to glorify ourselves. If we're seeking that level of wisdom to show people how smart we are, to show people what we can do and how many degrees we have and what we're versed in, that's all great and those are good things in and of themselves. But when we turn it and say, look how good I am, we're no longer pointing people to Jesus. We're no longer pointing and saying, look how good my God is. The focus is on us, and that is the issue. Evidence of this way of living is obvious, and it is us pointing and caring way more about our lives and how we are viewed by other people than how God is. And when we do that, we are just as guilty of the sin that the Old Testament Israelites commit over and over again that we like to harp on them for, idolatry. It looks a little different for you and for me because they would literally build statues that they would bow down and worship. But here we are in everyday life and everything that we do pointing at how good we are, and everybody should know and understand how good and how important and how smart and whatever it is that we are. And when we do that, we've placed ourselves in priority above showing people how good and great and how awesome our God is. And when we do that, we place ourselves into that priority slot, and when we do that, it's the very sin of idolatry. Maybe you don't specifically build something that you bow down and worship to, but so much in life today, we build up ourselves, and we worship ourselves, and culture and society has taught us that that's okay, and that's what we should do. But when we do that, we're not focused on who is worthy and deserving of that praise. And so that earthly wisdom that is there is wisdom that people can seek, and it's self-serving, and it only speaks to themselves, and that's what's defined here in these verses. But there is a different kind of wisdom, a wisdom that we should strive for. And if you look in verses 17 and 18, we see James characterize this heavenly wisdom. And the way that he does so may remind you of some other places in Scripture that sound similar to this. But we see that God's wisdom has fruit that is shown in it, but it is very different. Because here, he is defining in more detail what he talked about in verse 13 by this idea of the gentleness of wisdom. You see, when it comes to the wisdom and the way that we live our lives and how we do that, the origin determines the outcome. Because if we have or are filled with worldly wisdom, then we are going to constantly produce worldly results. That's just how that works. But if we are filled with spiritual wisdom and the wisdom of God and this wisdom that we're about to look at, then that is where we produce those good works that don't bring honor and glory to ourselves, but point people to a loving and just and perfect God that can help them far better than you and I ever could. You see, the character of this kind of wisdom, the kind of wisdom that we should be chasing, is wonderful. It's full of love and a giving heart, and it's consistent with the holiness and the character of God. And the very first thing that James says about this kind of wisdom is that it is characterized by peace. And so maybe something we need to ask ourselves in life is your life characterized by peace or conflict? And that can be a tough thing to think about sometimes. Is your interactions with people and the way that you treat people and talk to people and love people, is it characterized by peace? I want you to think about Jesus and his ministry and some of the very people he came across, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the worst of the worst. When he interacted with those people, was his life characterized by peace or by conflict? See, when society interacted with the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the lepers and the people that nobody wanted anything to do with, that was characterized by conflict. Get away from me. I want nothing to do with you because of what you've done and who you are. Imagine if God treated us that way. Jordan, you've messed it up over and over and over again. Get away. We've been here before. Get away. Imagine if God dealt with us in that way. Praise the Lord, at least for me, that he doesn't. Is your life characterized by peace or by conflict? And it's a tough thing to live at peace with everyone, like the scripture says, right? Because I don't know if you know this, but people can be difficult. People can be hard to love. People can be hard to put up with. But imagine the person who, I see people looking at each other, don't do that. But imagine how God feels about us difficult people as we continually do that ourselves. Other definitions of this kind of wisdom that we should strive for is pure and undefiled by sin. It is gentle, not valuing itself more highly than it should. How often do we do that? We've talked about that before. It is full of mercy, forgiving others because it's understood how lucky that we are to be forgiven. And if you're hearing some of these descriptors, there's no mistake, and it's a point that James is making, that this should sound very similar to a different passage of Scripture known as the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And if you know them or the song that goes along with it about the fruits of the Spirit, the things that should be evident in our life if we've been changed by the good news of Jesus, that should be evident in our life. And there's a point that James is making right here that a lot of that lines up with. It should be how we portray the wisdom of God in our lives. And the verse at the end of there, it talks about this fruit is like a seed that will bear this fruit as it's sown by those who make peace. Again, the origin is the source. If we are filled with this kind of peace that is full of mercy and is filled with peace and is pure and is gentle, then that is what will outpour in our lives because that is what we're feeding into our lives. And so often we try to feed into our lives the wisdom and the knowledge of this world. And when we do that, it produces worldly things and worldly results. And when that happens, we're not bringing honor and glory to God. Now, I don't want you to hear me say that we should abandon all knowledge and earthly wisdom because those things are good and have been given to us by God and can be used for his glory. Some of the very smartest people I know use their smarts and use what God has gifted them to bring honor and glory to him. It's not about showing people how many degrees they have or how many seminars they've done. It's showing people how they can get to Jesus. It's showing people, no matter how messed up they are, that there's always room to go back to Jesus. And that is the true wisdom. And so as we individually need to look at in our lives, is this the kind of wisdom? Is this the kind of way that we live our lives, that we portray our lives? It has to start with us because we can very easily go, okay, well, as a church, do we do this? But if we're not starting in our own individual lives, it doesn't matter what we're doing collectively if we're not getting it done individually to begin with. Because if we're not doing it on an individual level, there's no way we're doing it at a corporate level, and there's no way we're doing it in that sense. You know, the most important thing that we can do in our churches, a lot of times we like to measure success and the way that we do things off of numbers and attendance and giving and all of that. And again, those are very good things. But the most important thing that we can do to measure our success and our effectiveness and our ministries and what we do is through the wisdom of the Word of God. It's through what the Word of God says. It's through that wisdom. Because the wisdom of man thinks it should be done in a different way or looks at it in a different way. And if we're not meeting this quota or if we're not growing at this percentage or if we're not doing this, then we're not doing what we're supposed to. And that may be somebody's opinion, but what does the wisdom of the Word of God say? And so that's something that definitely we will be looking at. Anytime that we do outreach events, and anytime we do things here, we're going to make sure that it lines up with the wisdom of the Word of God. Because I don't know about you, but I can't think of any better wisdom to make sure that we're in line with than that. True wisdom is humbly accepting the fact that maybe the way that's most comfortable and the way that we've always done it may not be the most effective way to do it. That's a scary thing, right? To realize the way that you like it and the way that things are done may not be the right way is not an easy pill to swallow. But if we look at the true wisdom of God and we look into His Word and we see that this is what we should be doing as a church, as a body of believers, and individually, then it shouldn't be as difficult of a pill to swallow. It shouldn't be as difficult of a transition to make. And I'm not saying we're going to launch all these crazy new things that we're going to do and it's going to change and all of this. But what I am saying is if we want to see those things, and I know that we do because I've heard that from so many of you in so many different areas of things that you want to see change and be better at this church. And I plead you to look at starting here, starting in our own lives, seeking the wisdom of God, not seeking the wisdom of Pastor Jordan, because I tell you, that's not the greatest wisdom to look at, but seeking the wisdom of God, seeking what He would have us do, and then being at peace with the fact that He's going to take care of those things if we're doing what we need to do. If we want to see revival in the church, if we want to see revival in this community, it's got to start in our own hearts, in our own lives. And that takes the wisdom of God to be able to do. To see that kind of revival and revitalization. If it's not starting with you, then where's it going to start? And so if that's what you seek for this church, and I know so many of you do, then I implore you to look this week and spend some time in prayer. That is what you're wanting to see and what you're wanting to do and all of this that we have in mind. Does it line up with the wisdom of God's Word? Because that is the ultimate authority that we need to be looking at. And so as we kind of ponder this together, I really want us to think through what kind of wisdom is your life defined by. When people think about you, what kind of wisdom would they define in your life? Because James gives us two options. Here are the two ways, the two kinds of wisdom, the earthly wisdom or the heavenly wisdom that are available, and we can only belong to one. And so if people around you, if people at your job or people at home were to look at your life, which kind of wisdom would they see in your life? And does that need to change? Do you handle life through the wisdom of God? As it was intended for us to do, when difficulties hit, do you try to do it yourself through the earthly wisdom that we naturally lean to, or do you use the wisdom of God? Do we try to maneuver it by ourselves? Do we try to make things to where it's beneficial for us and us only, or is it defined by knowing Christ and making Him known? One of these ways points others to Jesus. One of these ways points people to somebody that can meet their needs far greater than you or I ever could, that has the solution, that has the cure to the problems in life that are all boiled down to our sinful, messed up, and broken nature. One area of that wisdom points them to a perfect Creator, and another area points them to a selfish, sinful, and broken person. But only one of those is God-honoring. One of those is very selfish. One of those honors ourselves and who we are as individuals. But only one of those honors God and who he is. And so again, I ask you, what sort of wisdom is your life defined by? Because there's only one option. And just as there is only there's only one way that plays out when we get to eternity, you are either going to be a child of God or you're not. There's no middle ground. There's no third party. There's no other option. When the time comes and God comes back for his people, they're going to be separated into two groups of people, followers of Christ and not. And those are the two options. And yet here we are again. There are two options. We can have our lives defined and characterized by the wisdom of God because he has changed us so much, or we're stuck in our own ways and we're relying on self and the world to help us get through. But you remember that passage in Scripture where Christ says to take heart, for I have overcome the world. There are some good things in the world, and God has given us all those good things. But our purpose here is not to rack up knowledge and wisdom and be better than the person sitting next to us. Our purpose here is to bring honor and praise and glory to him. And that is the true wisdom that we should be seeking. So again, what wisdom is your life defined by? If it's not defined the way that it should be, what do you need to do in order to get there where your life portrays and points to somebody way better than you, points to a perfect and loving Savior in Jesus? It all starts with knowing him and who he is. It's acknowledging that we're all messed up, sinful, and broken people. The Scripture says so, that all of us fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means his standard of perfection. If you're not there, then you have missed the mark. You don't get there. The standard's perfection. So the moment that we mess up once means that we fall short. I don't know about you, but I blew that a long time ago. Scripture also says that the wages of sin is death. The payment for the sin in our lives is death and eternal separation from God. But thankfully, that scripture doesn't end there. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we can be saved. And that is through the wisdom of God. There's so many people that spend their entire lives trying to figure out the meaning of life. Why are we here? What are we here to do? And Scripture has so clearly defined it. It's to know Jesus, but also to make him known, to go and to make disciples, to baptize people in the name of Jesus. That is our purpose. That is the wisdom that we should be pursuing. But so easily we get distracted and entangled by the things of this world. And so, again, this week, may we look into our lives and see if we individually are seeking the wisdom of God. Because if that's what we want as a church, if that's what we want to be as Bellevue Baptist Church, it has to start individually. It has to start in our homes. And once it's there, then it will spread into what we do as a church and as a community. But is that the case with you? And if not, how can that be the case? Would you pray with me this morning as we close? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house and to look at the scripture. And we've talked about this idea of wisdom before, but God, I pray that maybe this morning we would look at it in a new light, where there is earthly wisdom and it's all around us and it's so accessible and easy, but there's also the wisdom of you through the authority of your word and the teaching of Jesus and all that we see. And we can only be defined by one of those types of wisdom. And God, may we be defined by your wisdom, that wisdom that is pure, that is gentle, that is full of mercy and forgiving, because that is the type of wisdom and the type of way of life that points people to you. There is no reason to point people to how awesome and how great that we are, because even at our best, it pales in comparison to a perfect and loving and mighty God. Father, I pray that if there's anybody in here that needs to make a decision this morning, that they would do so. If there's anybody they need to speak to in order to do that, that would be the case, that you would continue wrestling with the hearts of people this morning, so that as we leave this place, we would be better served to take your wisdom and share that with all that we come in contact with this week. And it's in your heavenly name that we pray. Amen.